Well, good morning, everybody. It is lovely to be with you in this rainy weather. Well done on turning up for church this morning. Good on you. I walked crankily to the car in the rain, got in the car and said to Ethan, I'm going home. But obviously I didn't go home because I'm here. Cool. And hey, kids. I love family services. It's so much fun. Hi, Ali. Okay, yes. So I'm, what's the time? It's 10:45. We're going to be done by 11:05. I'm going to speak that out. Cool. All right. So yes, I'm going to share some take-home thoughts around the story of Joseph. And the story of Joseph is one that I have known for a long time. I feel like it's one of the first stories for me who grew up in, you know, a Christian household, went to church. It was a story that I knew pretty quickly and have learned about for a long time. Who's seen Joseph and the King of Dreams before? It's the movie about Joseph. It's so much fun. I watched it this week. Prince of Egypt is better, but hey. But if you haven't seen it, you should go home and watch it. Kids, Joseph and the King of Dreams. It's very, very fun. Anyway, so as I started to look at the story of Joseph and as I started to read through the scripture passages in Genesis, in light of Pastor Judah's message last week, if you were here, you would know that he spoke a message on God's plan in the chaos. And he spoke from Genesis as well, and he spoke about different elements of God's creation that can bring life when we are in chaos. And if you haven't listened to that, you can listen to it on the podcast. But in light of his message on God's plan in the chaos, as I looked at the story of Joseph, all I could think was, man, his life was chaotic. It was absolutely insane. His brothers hated him. They hated him so much they wanted to kill him, but they decided to throw him in slavery. So Joseph got out of that one. He ends up in Egypt. He ends up in Potiphar's house. He then ends up in prison because of a situation with Potiphar's wife. Then he ends up with Pharaoh, and it's this whole situation. It's one thing to another. And as I read it, I started to think about it in relation to my own life, and maybe you can relate too, because sometimes life is just one thing after another. Sometimes it's good things, sometimes it's bad things, but life doesn't really slow down. For me, just to share a little bit about my life, a few months ago, we learned that we needed to move from where we were living, where Ethan and I were living, and that was a little bit of a situation, and we eventually found a place to live, and it was a great financial blessing. The day we went and looked at that house was also the day that we found out that we were having a baby, so then that came into the picture, which is really exciting, but it was an adjustment. So then we moved while I'm navigating this new season of learning that we're going to have a child, we're going to be parents for the first time, and then, of course, for us, you know, and I'm looking at all of you here in the room who are at least a few seasons ahead of Ethan and I, and I'm sure that you'll be able to look at us and tell us everything's going to be okay, you're going to be all right. But right now, this is where we're at, so pray for us. But, you know, we're both in the thick of, you know, work. Ethan's in uni. Last weekend, he had 3 assessments due back-to-back, and then he started prac. This week, we've both been at the doctor for various reasons. And then we've got commitments with church. We run a couple of teams at church, and that's sort of just the things that we're committed to. And then there's relationships and finances and all sorts of things. So we've felt a little bit of that sort of chaos in life over the past few months, and especially this week. And maybe you can relate too. And I know Joseph, who we're looking at this morning, definitely related as well. And I'm glad that Judah referred to Joseph as being Abraham's great-grandson, because I do think that if we're going to talk about someone in the Bible, it's good to know why they're important. And to be honest, it wasn't until I sat down with Judah this week and had a bit of a conversation with him, and I was like, look, I've known about Joseph, I feel like, for my whole life, and there's several chapters dedicated to him, but what's the big deal? Like, cool, you know, he went through all this stuff, good on him, or good on Joseph, good on God. And it was as Judah explained this to me, this is why biblical literacy is so important, But as he explained that Joseph was really a huge part of God's promise to Abraham coming to fruition. And as we see later on in the Bible, in Exodus, that once Joseph is in leadership, obviously the Israelites, his family, come and live in Egypt, and they end up being enslaved in Egypt and captured because a Pharaoh eventually rose up that did not know Joseph. Joseph had a lot of favor in the land, but eventually a Pharaoh rose up that did not know Joseph, and so his people, the Israelites, were treated poorly. But God had told this to Abraham, and God had promised that that the Israelites would eventually be delivered out of Egypt and into the promised land. And so Joseph was really a huge part of this bridging gap between the promise of Abraham and what was to come. And so that's one reason why Joseph is really important. And throughout his own story, we see lots of different ways that God provides and God brings promises fulfilled there too. Because it says, just to give some evidence, it says in Genesis 15, verses 13 to 15, "Then the Lord said, Abram, you will live to an old age and die in peace, but I solemnly promise that your descendants will live as foreigners in a land that doesn't belong to them," referring to the Israelites. "They will be forced into slavery and abused for 400 years, but I would terribly punish the nation that enslaves them, and they will leave with many possessions." And so Joseph plays a huge part in this story. As I continue to look at this story, and, Judah's, I'll be real with you, I'm just going to share a couple of simple thoughts this morning. Super, super simple. These are just my revelations. Maybe you'll have your own revelations, or I pray that you do in your own time with God. But as we're looking at this sub-theme in church at the moment, you are with me, God being with us. And so as I kept that in mind, as I looked at the story of Joseph, I actually found it really hard to connect with the heart of this story, because all I could see in the Bible was just Joseph going through one bad thing after another. It was just a recount of all these different things that happened to him. And yes, at different points it says, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord brought him favor, and the Lord prospered him. I would love if there was like a journal of Joseph's, a diary of what his feelings and thoughts were at the time. That would be so interesting to read. Because as I was reading, I was like, you know what? I just feel like this sucks. This wouldn't have been fun. This would not have been good. And yet it does say that the Lord was with him. But I realized as I read this and as I sort of struggled to connect with it, I began to ask myself, well, do I have a belief that God is with me? Do I have my own belief that God is with me? Just like it says in Genesis that the Lord was with Joseph, do I have a belief that God is with me? And, we've been talking for quite a couple of years with our youth a lot about how our beliefs are the undercurrent of our emotions, and they're the driving force of our behavior and what we do in life. And so if our beliefs don't line up with the truth of God's word, we will eventually see that in the way that we live our lives. And this idea of having, head beliefs, what we know in our mind, what we know in our intellect versus what we believe in our heart. And so for me, I realized that perhaps there are some gaps in my heart beliefs, what I know deep down in my soul, about God being with me, right? And so this is a journey that I've been on this week and that I'm still on, about really truly understanding that God is with me. I know it in my head, but really believing it in my heart. And so maybe that's a question that we can ask of all of our, like ask ourselves this morning, do we truly believe that God is with us? And so throughout this story of Joseph, what stands out to me is that God's presence makes a way for Joseph, and his presence is more than enough. And despite everything that Joseph went through, God was with him and looked after him. So in no particular order, I'm just going to go through three different thoughts or different take-homes, observations that I made about this story of Joseph and how God was with him. So first thought is God was with Joseph when no one else was. And so we see throughout this story, throughout this journey of Joseph, that he finds himself in some really lonely places. Lonely, yes, maybe emotionally and mentally, but just quite physically. You know, he was thrown into slavery, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He left his family. He found himself alone in a land, a foreign land to him. He found himself enslaved. He then found himself in Potiphar's house and then in prison. And while he may not have been quite physically alone, there were still people around him. There were people in his world. But in spirit, it was quite a lonely place. He was going through some situations that were quite isolating, really. But God was with Joseph. And the thing is that when I think about loneliness, it can take so many different forms. But loneliness really is a tool of the enemy, or a tool that the enemy wants to use to trap us and to force us into a corner and to convince us of truths that aren't necessarily true, convince us of beliefs that aren't true, that are false. But I was thinking about this in terms of like God being with Joseph where no one else was. While loneliness is something we can struggle with at times in our lives, what the presence of God can offer to us in comparison to what other people may be able to offer us or other things is far, far, far greater. Far, far greater. His presence is so much better, so much more life-bringing, so much richer than perhaps what a person can offer or a thing can offer, a hobby or something else that we might use when we are feeling lonely. You know, I think about I was just thinking about this week, you know, the comfort that you get from being with a loved one, someone that you just really enjoy, like the presence of a good friend or the presence of your spouse. You know, when I think about when I get to spend time with Ethan, like that just fills my cup so much. Or when we get to spend time with our family, you know, that's such an enjoyable experience. But as I was thinking about it, I was like, do you know what? It does not compare to the presence of God. And so for someone like Joseph, who had at times had none of those things in his life, the presence of God was still greater even if he'd had that. Does that make sense? And so even when we only rely on the company of someone else or on the company of a certain thing, we can still find our tanks empty. And so I think it's a good truth that even despite loneliness or even when we have other things, God's presence alone provides us with so much more. And it's enough. And I think about Judah's message last week, and he talked about light, he talked about time, and he talked about space. And I really, if you didn't hear it, I really do encourage you to go and listen to it. But I was thinking about it in light of this idea of God being with Joseph when no one else was. I think loneliness has a lot of, you know, negative connotations. But in some ways, when you have nothing else or when we have nothing else but God, it actually allows for a really beautiful opportunity for God to come and speak and for God to come and bring clarity when something else is present, when something else is taking up that space. Another observation that I had moving along. I didn't rehearse any of this, so I'm hoping it makes sense, and if not, then I will improve. Another observation that I had was that God was with Joseph when he was misunderstood. And so Judah referred to two different points in the story of Joseph. He talked about Joseph and his dreams. In the very beginning of the story, as a young teenager, Joseph has this gift of receiving dreams from the Lord and being able to interpret them. However, his brothers have such hatred towards Joseph because, you know, he's favored by his parents and it seems to be so unfair. And so there's really this lack of understanding on his brother's part. His brothers are clouded by their own perspective. But it's interesting because even though Joseph was misunderstood by his brothers in that way, those dreams, that gift of interpreting dreams, was the exact thing that God used later on to bring such purpose and to bring such fulfillment and to be a gift to other people. You know, I think about when Joseph was thrown into prison by Potiphar after the situation with Potiphar's wife. You know, I cannot imagine what it's like to be put into prison. But that led him to being in a situation where he was able to interpret the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker in that space. And while it was a very long journey being in that prison, it eventually led to the cupbearer being able to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. And Joseph was brought out of prison, and that's where he was then put into a place of leadership and into a place of influence by Pharaoh. And so, you know, two different scenarios, one with his brothers and one with Potiphar, where he was misunderstood. God actually used those two situations to elevate Joseph and to actually bring him out of those spaces and to propel him forward. And I talk about, you know, being misunderstood because I think in life, like, I don't like being misunderstood. I feel like probably all of us can think of a time where we have felt misunderstood, whether by, you know, a person in our family or a person at work or a person at school or whoever it might be. I know I don't like being misunderstood because I care too much about what other people think of me. So if someone's misunderstanding me, I'm like, please let me clarify. And it's almost like this feeling of being misunderstood, it makes me feel, maybe you might feel the same way, that you're losing out, like you've lost a battle. It's like, no, I need to fight to have my case heard. I need to fight so that you know what I meant or know what I was thinking or know what I was feeling. But we're seeing this in this story with Joseph. I mean, there's so much that we don't know at the same time about what was going on, but time and time again, Joseph is misunderstood, and yet he is faithful, and he just follows through, and he goes through the process, and he trusts God. And it doesn't actually matter what other people think, because God has a plan, and God had a plan from the start, from the moment that he gave Joseph those dreams, until those dreams came to fruition, and until God's promise was delivered. I wonder, these are some questions that I have about Joseph. This is why his diary or journal would really come in handy. You know, I think about, would it have been easy for Joseph to listen to other people's perceptions of him? I just realized I was going to read out some scripture, but I didn't. Anyway, sorry, Matt. We're moving on. would it have been easy for Joseph to listen to other people's perceptions of him? I think about, you know, Joseph had probably not forgotten the dreams that God had given him back when, in the beginning of this story, it says that Joseph was 17. That's when we first meet Joseph in Genesis. He was 17, and I think some research that I was reading indicated that it wasn't until he was about 30 that he became, he was in a position of leadership. And so that's about, you know, 15 or so years between him first receiving these dreams and those dreams ever coming into a place of fruition. But I wonder if he ever questioned why they hadn't become true yet. You know, I wonder what his own understanding of his journey was. And so I'm reminded of Psalm 3, verse 5 to 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight." And so I think that when we do feel misunderstood or when we don't understand our own situation, the key to this is to trust the Lord and to seek the Lord for clarity and to seek the Lord for advice. And I do think that God positions people in our world as well to be able to, the right people will understand at the time, whatever it is that needs to be understood, the right people will. It says in the beginning, in Genesis, I think it was 37, when Joseph was first talking to his brothers about these dreams that he was having, Jacob, his father, was also slightly apprehensive about the dreams too. Even though he favored Joseph, he was slightly apprehensive about the dreams. He sort of questioned Joseph as well. He was like, "Do you mean that you're going to rule over us as well? Is this what you mean?" And even though he was slightly apprehensive, the Bible says that he kept the matter in mind. And so even though at the time Jacob was unsure, it kind of stood out to me because I thought, you know, he still was open to what Joseph was saying. And so I think that, yes, God is the one who understands and who will lead us, but he'll also position the right people in our lives who understand and who can help us along the way too. And my final thought this morning, I'm running a little bit behind time. My final thought is that God was with Joseph when the promise was still unseen. And You know, I'm sure you've heard it many times that it's difficult to persevere when you're in the middle of a messy situation. It's difficult to keep going. And the crazy thing is that the Lord allowed all of this in this story in Genesis to transpire, but only God knew what was ahead. Only He really knew what was going to come and what needed to happen. Like I said, God gave Joseph a dream at a young age, but it was a long, long, long time before we ever saw any signs of that dream coming true or the purpose of that dream. It could be suggested perhaps that everything Joseph went through was necessary to allow God's promise to Abraham to be fulfilled. Joseph also played a part in God's promise to bless the nations. Outside of this, God's promise to deliver the Israelites, there was a promise to bless the nations. And we see that happen when the famine comes through the land, and Joseph plays a part in being able to provide food and resources for the nations and for the people in Egypt and those who came to Egypt. And over time, Abraham's promise was fulfilled through Joseph's obedience, even though he went through terrible times. I think that often our trials don't feel very necessary at the time that we're walking through them. I'm sure that lots of you are well seasoned in various trials, and perhaps even despite, you know, how long we live, going through a trial doesn't necessarily get any easier. We always, you know, there's a questioning, why are we going through this? What's going on? What's the reason? What's the purpose? But it's very clear that God was with Joseph throughout this situation, and that He was going to use any circumstance that Joseph was in to glorify God, to glorify Himself. And I love that Joseph actually allowed his life to be a blessing to others despite what he was going through. Joseph's gift of interpreting dreams was what drove his brothers to reject him, like I was saying before, but God used this gift to bless others despite not knowing maybe what was necessarily in front of him or why the chaos was happening around him. You know, I was trying to think of a perfect specific example in my own life to demonstrate this, and I couldn't think of one, but I can think of many times in my life where maybe my parents or leaders or, you know, people in authority, maybe even sometimes Ethan, where I've got all these questions, why is this happening, or why are we doing it this way, or what's going on? And just this sense of, hang on, you'll find out, it'll all sort itself out. And then afterwards, once it does, it's like this aha moment. It's like, I see what was going on there. I see what you were doing. I see what God was trying to do. And so I think that within all of this, knowing that God knew the promise that He'd given to Abraham and to his descendants, even if Joseph didn't necessarily understand what that was going to look like, God's presence sustained Joseph, and God's presence kept him going, and God's presence allowed him to be faithful and to be honorable. And so I think that for me, as I was thinking about this particular thought, just how our hope in the Lord can sustain us when we are unsure of what's going on, when we can't see that promise, or when we can't see that outcome, how our hope in the Lord, finding hope in Him, and also finding hope in His Word, being encouraged by His Word. And so I just have one, I'd just like to read one passage of Scripture. It's actually from Romans 8, and when I was thinking about this verse in line with what we're talking about this morning, I didn't know it was a memory verse for today, but this is what verse 22 to 28 says. It says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so as I quickly wrap up and hand back to, I think, Sam, with that thought in mind that God works all things together for our good. And when we're not sure what that looks like, or when we're not sure how that's going to happen, or when we have questions, we can find hope in the Lord. And that is an encouragement in and of itself. And we see it in his word. We see it in the story of Joseph, who perhaps also found himself in places where the only thing he had to do was to hope in the Lord too, because he as well did not know what was to come.